Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and there's a new book out about five places where diversity succeeds. Queens is one of them, and the others are around the world. The book is called Pax Ethnica, Where and How Diversity Succeeds. The two co-authors join us now, Carl Meyer and Shireen Blair Breisach. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
You chose five places. Well, first of all, your book title means ethnic peace, Pax Ethnica. So when you say diversity, are you talking mainly about racial diversity, religious diversity? Did you look at economic diversity? What do you mean by diversity?
All the above. But we particularly wanted to discuss places and visit places that had a big Islamic population, because that's the flashpoint now.
And you chose five places where you think diversity does succeed. One is Queens. What are the other four? And, well, I'll list them, but how did you choose them? Marseille, France. People will be interested to hear that. Flensburg, Germany. Kerala, Italy. And
India.
What did I say? India. And Tartistan in the Russian Republic.
Well, we started out, Carl was reading one day at Smithsonian Magazine, and he read an article on Marseille by a journalist, Andrew Purvis. And Marseille didn't go up in flames in 2005 when Paris, Lyon, Strasbourg, the rest of France did. And he analyzed why. And then at over lunch, we said, well, there must be other places that have ethnic peace, and we don't hear about them because good news is unnews. That people don't report it. So Tartistan we chose because we asked the question, why did Tartistan, with about 46-40 Muslim and Russian Orthodox population, very similar to Chechnya, why did Tartistan remain peaceful and Chechnya go up in flames? Kerala in India we chose because, although it's not the wealthiest state in India, it has a number of Muslims, and unlike Gujarat, which is not far away, again, the Muslims, the Hindus, and the Christians, that's a considerable Christian population, existed in peace.
And let's add Flensburg, which is kind of a historical curiosity. It had a century-old quarrel between Denmark and Germany over Schleswig-Holstein. And then after World War II, when the Danish government was offered to take South Schleswig back, they said, thanks, but no thank you. We would prefer peace to land. And they asked for guarantees for the cultural rights for the Danish minority. Mm-hmm. They got them. As a result, nobody hears about Flensburg.
Listeners, any Carolyn's listening right now and want to call in? Any Tartars, Flensburgians? What do you call somebody from Flensburg? Or anybody from Marseille? 212-433-WNYC. And beyond that, for anyone, where have you lived or worked that has been truly diverse and where that was a good thing for all? 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. Or go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and post to our webpage. So these particular comparisons that you made, Marseille compared to other, densely Muslim parts of France where there were where there was trouble a few years ago, or Kerala compared to Gujarat, is there a common thread among these places that runs through the book that makes diversity succeed there as opposed to lead to ethnic conflict?
Well, each has its own particular formula. But I think one common thread that you find is that wherever there's a degree of mutual respect for the diversity and constant communication between not just the leaders but the people on the street in these communities, where they're not ghettoized into separate compartments but live together cheek by jowl, these are some of the common elements. But we also found something that interested us, that there were two things we didn't expect. One was the power of rap music, and the other was advertising, branding.
Power of rap music, how? I'll bite.
Okay. The that's a way of expressing dissent. It's a way of drawing communities together. People in Marseille say, well, our rap is very different from Parisian rap. They have their rappers, Kenny Arcano, who's probably the most successful female rapper in France, a Comorian called Soprano, after the Sopranos of New Jersey, and Iam, which is probably the most successful group, where their names are all Egyptian, like Ignaton and all that. And they say, well, we got to have a lot of North African Rai strains in our rap music that distinguishes in France. So people feel very solidly about Marseille rap. They feel very solidly about their soccer teams, their soccer team, Olympique de Marseille. And we found that, you know, we always hear when soccer games go badly, like recently Port Said in Egypt, where 40, 50 people got killed. But often these teams provide nexus where people can all come together, go to the games, watch them on television, and root for the home team. And they are a unifying thing rather than causing dissent. But I wanted to pick up on one other thing on the diversity thing. We found that more diversity is better. When you only have two, like in Queens in the 70s, you have black and you had white. And you had a lot of tension. Well, now it's 138 languages. There are all shades of black, yellow, whatever.
More different groups is better for getting along.
Yeah, they get along because they have to make South Asians in Jackson Heights who can't get along on their subcontinent, the Pakistanis, the Egyptians, the Bengalis, and the Sri Lankans, they all get along in Jackson Heights because they have something that they can unify around. They all shop at Patel's Grocery.
And does that just mean, Carl, that they get along, that there isn't as much likelihood of physical, you know, riots in the streets and things like that? Or is there something created that you're arguing through this diversity that's greater than the sum of its parts?
Sure. There's something created. Some of our interviewees use the thali, a Thai dish where you have all kinds of
Indian.
Where you have all kinds of things together that they have separate identities, they intensify each other's and have a common, it comes out very well. And I think that's true of Queens. I just want to add that, to sum up about the multi and bi, that as in human relations, multipolar is better than bipolar in human behavior. And I'd like to elaborate just a bit on the branding bit, because we were surprised to find that what you identify with and how you identify with is crucial. For example, in Paris, the banlieue, the suburbs outside, the people don't consider themselves Parisians. Whereas in New York, for example, you have the Big Apple, the Knickerbockers, all of them are kind of labels that help bring about a social cohesion.
By the way, here's a clip that I think goes to that point from an interview I did with John Horgan recently, the author of the book The End of War, and listen to what he talks about regarding a hopeful example.
My students, I bring up the question, do you think war will ever end? And they're always so pessimistic, and they say war will never end as long as some people have more than others, as long as we differ in religion and ethnic group and so forth. And I point out the window toward the skyline of New York City and say, that contradicts what you're saying. There's this enormously diverse group of people, diverse economically, ethnically, in every possible way.
Nobody's a majority in New York City.
That's right. And, you know, they argue, they squabble all the time, but largely nonviolently. People aren't carrying out suicide bombings against each other. So that's the kind of proof of principle that I'm looking for.
Let me get a couple of calls in here before we run out of time. My guests are Shireen Blair Breisach and Carl Meyer, authors of Pax Ethnica, Where and How Diversity Succeeds. And Shirley in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. You want to talk about India, right?
Yeah, I'm from Kerala.
Good.
And I was just telling your screener that, Kerala often has the communist rule, or has Muslims the majority, or, you know, Hindus and
And Christians.
And Christians. Like, I'm a Christian. And so, you know, we all, and we, since it's such a small state but has so many people, there are so many of us all over the world, and we bring back culture and add to its diversity.
Which makes a multipolar culture. Thank you, Shirley. Is it a chicken and the egg situation in Kerala? You know, they have some 32 million Hindus, Muslims, Christians. They live peacefully. They lead the country in literacy, life expectancy, health care. So is diversity the chicken or the egg?
Well, I think one of the things we found in Kerala, which can be applied elsewhere, is the very – it's almost 100% literate, which is nowhere else in India, is anywhere near that. And they – the women are – even though they're perhaps not all that important in politics, they are certainly well-educated. And I think that, that those two things, the education of women, they produce fewer children. The children are – and the other thing is the Muslims in Kerala, because they are a remittance society, they go to the Gulf and they work and they send back the money home. The Muslims are better off in Kerala than they are in a number of places in India where they're among the poorest people. So I think that helps. And the Muslims are the tipping point in Kerala politics. They are the vote. You have to have the Muslim vote if you're a Congress Party member or a Communist Party member to tip the vote your way.
By the way, I used the term Keralans before, and somebody from there writes in, where Malayali.
Malayali is the language,
not
yes.
Keralan.
Yes.
That's what they call themselves, I guess.
Malayali.
She says at
correct.
Least that is what we call ourselves in Kerala. Okay. How about let's try – we're going to run out of time here in just a second. Let's get one Queen's thought in from Richard. You're on WNYC. Hi, Richard.
You yes, used to good morning, Brian.
Teach at Forest Hills High School?
I taught at Forest Hills High School for almost 20 years. And as I mentioned before, that the – there's routinely about 75 different linguistic groups among the students of that student populace at any given point.
And how does it contribute to getting along, to diversity working?
Well, I can tell you, in my classrooms, I had anywhere up to 16 different languages. I taught English as a second language to newcomers starting in 1991. When the wave of the new wave of immigration from the Eastern European bloc and from Asia began, you know, with the downfall of the Soviet Union, and I can tell you that the kids existed peacefully, and the citizens here in Forest Hills, where I've lived for 36 years, have coexisted together peacefully during the entire time that I taught.
And Richard, I'm going to leave it there. Forgive me. Thank you for the thought. We're almost out of time. Just to add to that Kerala addendum, that listener writes, it's not only we call ourselves Malayali, we also identify mostly as South Indians, linguistically distinct from North Indians, and separated from the rest of India by a mountain range. So Kerala has its own particularness. My guests have been Carl Meyer and Shireen Blair Breisach. Their book is Pax Ethnica, Where and How Diversity Succeeds. They're speaking at the Upper West Side Barnes & Noble on Tuesday, March 13th at 7 p.m. That's 82nd and Broadway. The Barnes & Noble there next Tuesday, March 13th at 7. We had 20 seconds left if you want to throw in that thought you were trying to get out. Shireen, were you?
Well, I was going to say how often diversity is expressed in a food metaphor. We talk about the American melting pot. The Marseillais say we are a bouillabaisse. The thali, which is the Kerala dish with a lot of little things around the plate, is how they, the Shashi Tharoor, their congressperson, expresses it.
Let's meet for thali after the show.
And further footnote. The Queens is a culinary paradise for this very reason.
Absolutely. Thanks again.